जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी सोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे संकीर्तन की श्री श्री राधा वृंदावन चंद्र की श्री श्री जगन्नाथ सुधन महारानी की श्री श्री गौर निकाय की श्रीनिवास बालाजी की समावेत भक्त वृंद की मंत्राक्षमद भागवतम की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी। ओम अज्ञान ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमावों विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. నష్టప్రాయేష్ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. శ్లోక ఫ్రమ్ 11:20.8 యత్ పుమాన్ నా నిర్విణ్ణో నాతిశక్తో భక్తి యోగోస్య సిద్ధిదః. యదృచ్ఛయా మత్కథాదౌ జాతశ్రద్ధస్తు యః పుమాన్ న నిర్విణ్ణో నాతిశక్తో భక్తి యోగోస్య సిద్ధిదః. యదృచ్ఛయా మత్కథాదౌ జాతశ్రద్ధస్తు యః పుమాన్ నా నిర్విణ్ణో నాతిశక్తో భక్తి యోగోశ్చ సిద్ధిదః. ఎదర్చయా సమ్హో రదర్ బై గుడ్ ఫార్చ్యూన్ మత్ కథా ఆదౌ ఇన్ ద నేరేషన్స్ సాంగ్స్ ఫిలాసఫీ డ్రామాటికల్ పర్ఫార్మెన్సెస్ ఎక్సెట్రా దట్ డిస్క్రైబ్ లార్డ్స్ మై గ్లోరీస్ యా. జాత అవేకన్ శ్రద్ధ ఫెయిత్ టు ఇండీడ్ యహ వన్ హూ పుమాన్ ఎ పర్సన్ నా నాట్ నిర్విణ్ణ డిస్గస్టెడ్ నా నాట్ అతిశక్త వెరీ అటాచ్డ్ భక్తి యోగ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ లవింగ్ డివోషన్ అస్య హిస్ సిద్ధిద will award perfection. Translation and purpose is by grace. Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Srila Prabhupada ki, if somehow or other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, such a person being neither very disgusted nor very much attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. So, not a very long purport, we will read it quickly. Once we can read it, give the mic.
If somehow or other one gets the association of pure devotees of the Lord and hears from them the transcendental message of Lord Krishna, then one has the chance to become a devotee of the Lord. As mentioned in the previous verse, those who become disgusted with material life take to impersonal philosophical speculation and rigorously try to stamp out any trace of personal existence. Those who are still attached to material sense gratification try to purify themselves by offering the fruits of their ordinary activities to the Supreme. A first-class candidate for pure devotional service, on the other hand, is neither completely disgusted with nor attached to material life. He does not desire to pursue ordinary material existence any further, because it cannot award real happiness. Nevertheless, a candidate for devotional service does not give up all hope for perfecting personal existence. A person who avoids the two extremes of material attachment and impersonal reaction to material attachment, and who somehow or other gets the association of pure devotees, faithfully hearing their message, is a good candidate for going back home, back to Godhead, as described here by the Lord.
Hare Krishna. We welcome all of you for this Sunday morning lecture today. For a devotee in the Krishna consciousness movement, one of the greatest menaces in spiritual life is our material attachments. The material attachments pose like a stumbling block in advancing in our Krishna consciousness. So you all know the 10th offense, which says that it's also an offense to maintain material attachments even after hearing so many instructions on this matter. So there is a bad habit of maintaining material attachments. So if you are too materially attached, we tend to become fruitive actors. And if we develop material aversion, that is also another side of material attachment, which leads to impersonalistic philosophy, where one develops great fear of personal identity of the Lord, and one wants to merge in Brahman, and one wants to avoid all personal services. He doesn't want to do anything with personal. He becomes totally impersonal. So like the pendulum has two extremes. So the bhukti and mukti are called the pishachi iti vartate. Rupa Goswami says they are two pishachis, two ghosts. First one tries to connect personally with the Lord and all the living entities, and then one gets extremely frustrated in that interpersonal dealing with Lord and the living entities. Then one goes to the other extreme of impersonal reaction to the attachment. That's what is explained here. Na nirvinna, na atisakto. So those who are atisakta, too attached, they follow the varnashrama path. And those who are completely averse, they follow the impersonal path. So you will read in the 7th canto, after the Prahlad Maharaj's thing is over in the 10th chapter, prayers are over. Then a new thing starts there. Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking Narada Muni that we are all householders, and how do we, perfect our life? We have so many worldly responsibilities and everything. And then there, Narada talks about Varnashrama, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa, and tells of the duties. And clearly it says, till the 7th canto, 1st to 10th chapter, pure devotion service was spoken. And then after that, 10th to 14th chapters, mixed devotion service is spoken. So, if somebody is too materially attached, they are given mixed devotional service. And somebody is too materially averse, he goes to the impersonal path. So, materially attached, materially averse. Materially attached, go for mixed devotional or mixed devotion path. And materially averse, go for the impersonal path. But somebody is in between. They are ready to give up the material attachments and rise above by having become attracted to Krishna's name, form, pastimes, glories, activities and all, or watching a drama about Krishna Like here it says here, in the translation, if you see here, Yadrichya Mat Katha Adav. Adav means, if somebody went to a Krishna temple, they heard a lecture, they got thrilled. Huh? What a beautiful pastime. Krishna is so kind to his devotees. Or they heard a Krishna song, they felt a great devotional feelings. Even in conditioned stage, you can get tears in your eyes. When you hear a Krishna song, the devotion is so powerful, before the heart gets purified, the devotion awakens. Therefore, that verse says, it says, Hridroga Mashapa, you know that one. Vikreditam Vajabadu Viridam Chavishnoho Shraddhan Vita Anshunyat Atavarna Yedya Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhyakamam Hridrogamashu Apahinoti Acharena Dhiraha. See, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam Apahinoti. He says that initially there is lust in our heart, then Bhakti enters our heart, then Bhakti goes inside and kicks out lust. That means in the three stages, initially there is only lust. But then you hear a song, a very beautiful song on Krishna. Therefore you find, even if you go to the YouTube and all, there are many people hearing many songs of Krishna, Govinda Jai Jai Gopala Jai Jai. Millions of people are hearing. Because even the conditioned souls are able to appreciate, you know, the glorification of the name of the Lord. Similarly, he is saying philosophy. Some people develop attraction for the Krishna conscious philosophy. Like those three fellows, Artho, Jignyasu, Artharthi, Jnani. In that, the Jignyasu and Jnani may appreciate philosophy. And then dramatical performances. Gandhi, when he was a first standard boy, he saw the drama of Hari Ramachandra. And he developed a deep attraction for Lord Rama. Isn't it? So somebody may watch a drama. When Prabhupada, our own Srila Prabhupada performed Advaita Acharya Prabhu role in one of the dramas. Some of the audience, he could hear them crying when they saw the Panchatattva drama was done. And then the director trained our Abhay and all other boys for 1 year in performing the drama, devotional drama. Devotional drama was not for just some humor or something. It was performed to soften and melt the heart of the audience's devotion. In this way, either you heard a Krishna song or you watched a drama, or you heard Bhagavad Katha narration, sometimes certain speakers very expertly present the pastimes of the Lord with so much devotion and devotional mood, and that touches the hearts of the audience. In this way, if the bhakti is awakened, that means, you know, we have some mental attachment to the world. At the same time, we have some aversion. But aversion is not to the extent that you become totally impersonalistic. An attachment is not so much that you completely get plunged into the samsara. That is the right adhikar. That means attachment is not too much mental attachment. Aversion is too much aversion. Na nirvindo na atisakto. Bhakti yoga siddhidha. Then you can go in the bhakti path. So this is the verse. Now, last week, last Sunday I had done part 1 of Shaky to Steady Spiritual Life. Now I am going to continue that based on the book Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani by His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj. So I am revising first, so that otherwise we may forget it. What did we do in the last lecture? See, Varnashrama, some people follow as a mere tradition for setting example. Like for example, Brahmachari. There are so many Brahmacharis in India and so many Gurukulas also, where they follow Varnashrama as a duty, as a rule. The goal of Varnashrama is not to get purified and go to the point of becoming a devotee of the Lord. Similarly, there are also Grihasthas who follow the Grihasthashrama in Varnashrama. So if you see, that's what is the second point. It says that rising from piety to spirituality, not piety to prosperity. When I had gone to give a lecture in Pune, one Vaishya community people had called me for a lecture for 300-400 people. I asked them, what is your topic? They said, piety for prosperity. That's the topic they gave. So they want, you know, dharma for artha. That's the meaning of piety for prosperity. So they said, Swamiji, don't tell us to go back to Godhead in this life. First, let us be prosperous for some time and then we will see. So they know ISKCON means back to Godhead. So they want piety for prosperity. Dharma for artha. And then artha for kama. And then when they are fed up with kama, then they may end up for moksha. So understanding this, Krishna himself says, in one of the verses says, tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata mat kata shravanadova shraddha yavan najayate. Krishna told Uddhava. He's telling, tavat karmani kurvita, you do dharma, artha and kama, how long? Na nirvidyeta yavata, until you don't get fed up with them. Keep doing them. When you get fed up, what is the meaning of you got fed up? Mat katha shravanadova. When you hear my katha, you are madly attracted to my Krishna katha. And Krishna says, shraddha yavanna jayate, that type of shraddha, if it has not arisen in you, then you do dharmartha kama, he says. So there are good number of people who cannot sit and listen to the Bhagavad katha, nor can they accept the Bhagavad conclusions in their life. They will say, hey, what is this? Everything you give up on Krishna, Krishna, Krishna all the time. Chanting, dancing, taking prasad, only Krishna, nothing else. In fact, even a couple of days ago in my question answer session, one boy asked, Prabhu, even this world is not that bad, it's beautiful. You know, can't we enjoy the world and side by side do Krishna consciousness? Precisely Krishna is addressing this in this shloka. Matkata ashravanadova shraddha yavana jayate. When a very firm faith has not yet awakened in, oh, Krishna is my only shelter. Krishna is my life and soul. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhana Pran. That's the preaching of whom? Lord Chaitanya. Shuno Shuno Nityananda Shuno Haridas Sarvatra Amara Agnya Koroho Prachar Prati Ghare Ghare Giya Koro Ye Yi Bhiksha Bolo Krishna Bhajo Krishna Karo Krishna Shiksha. He says, no? Tell them to chant Krishna's names, worship Krishna and study Gita Bhagavatam. So this is the path of pure devotional service that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to administer for all the jivas of the Kali Yuga through the two top preachers, Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda. That is the first preaching team that Lord Chaitanya sent out. So now those people who are not appreciative of this path of pure devotional service, even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's times, 500 years ago, they criticized the devotees. What is this? These guys are always shouting Krishna, 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 doing kirtan all the time. Hey, why this Kolavecha is shouting the holy name? Throw some tomato, throw some vegetables, some potato and tomato and some sabjis into his window so that he's hungry, it seems. Let him eat and not make such a kirtan sounds whole day, whole night. So those people, even 500 years ago, they were fed up with devotee's kirtan. If devotees go street to preach, if Nityananda Prabhu would go, some people suspect today, these guys are coming to see our furnitures in the day, night they'll come and steal and all that. So many things. So you can clearly see, 500 years ago, in the society, there were two classes of people. One was the followers of pure devotional service, like Haridas Thakur was a preacher. He was a chanter. And you can see, the Hindus hated him. Why? Because he was preaching pure devotional service. And the Brahmanas thought, what will happen to our business? Our business of doing some puja part and making some money from all the people. And Haridas is saying that just chant holy name and go back to God. If people develop faith in Shuddha Bhakti, then what will happen to our this thing? They thought like that. People, because they wanted to keep people in ignorance, remain in the world. So, when Haridas Thakur had fainted unconscious purposefully, after that 21 marketplaces beating, although he was not actually unconscious. That time, when he the Hindus didn't want to properly cremate him, because if he's cremated, then he will go to Swarga. And the Hindus also didn't want to cremate him, because in that, according to that, he is a Muslim. So you will find both Hindus and Muslims were opposed to him, but he was preaching pure devotional service 500 years ago. So therefore, the second point we discussed, that rising from piety to spirituality, not piety to prosperity. What to do if I'm not frustrated with Maya? Then Krishna says, Tavat karmani kurvita. You continue doing your fruitive activities in Varnashrama, he says. Then Krishna shows special interest in demigod worshippers who are also Varnashrama followers. They worship various demigods. Why Krishna shows special interest? Because within the demigod worship lies the submission to the Vedic path. Obedience to the Supreme Lord and the Vedic literature, with that seed of obedience, it's likely that a person may gradually develop attraction to Krishna. That's the likelihood. But at the same time, why Prabhupada vehemently opposed demigod worship? He told all ISKCON followers, you respect demigods, don't offend them, but you should not do any demigod puja. One devotee asked Prabhupada, one temple president, Prabhupada, in this area a lot of Hindus are there, they are requesting us to put up a worship of Ganesha. You know, it seems a lot of donation will come. Prabhupada said, yes, you can have get a deity of Ganesha installed. But every week you have to send me $10,000. Prabhupada said, every week. You send me regularly donation, then you can have Ganesh deity. And the president never wrote back and never had Ganesh after that. So Prabhupada thoroughly opposed this. He didn't understand his why. Not that Prabhupada didn't have respect for Ganesh or something. But there is a reason. Because what has happened now in Kali Yuga, the materialism has distracted people from religion. Due to which people's respect for Vedas, respect for bowing to God, going to temple and, you know, becoming a Vedic follower, that has reduced. The people are turning into atheists. They are becoming sense gratifiers. Outrightly, all over the world you see this. And therefore, this is one reason. Another reason, Mayavad has removed both demigod worship and Krishna worship and any trace of religion also in people. Mayavadis are simply cheating. Telling everybody, I am God, you are God, everybody is God. So the Kali Yuga society is so deadly that Mayavad is a poison which has taken people out of true religion. Even if the traces of religious principle was there in a person, people read Mayavadi books and everybody is bluffing now. People talk as if they know, and they are offending the Lord's pastimes, they are offending the Vedic literature also because of misunderstandings. So materialism has distracted them from regulated procedure for worshipping demigods. So therefore Prabhupada thought, with materialism in place, Mayavad in place, the modern day society has become a very disturbed society. People cannot even worship demigods very peacefully, stably for many lifetimes and come to the pure platform. So therefore Prabhupada opposed it. Then how sadhusanga works, from material delight to mixed devotion to pure devotion to Sri Krishna. We discussed the story of Sanatana Goswami giving that parsamani to the fellow Shiva's devotee who came. Initially that fellow delighted in that material gift. Later on he became suspicious. How did this Gosai gave me? Then he went to meet him. Seeing the character of Sanatan, you know, his devotion to Krishna, devotion arose in his heart also. So he had a material attachment and devotion to God. So it was a mixed devotion. And the result was eventually pure devotion took over and he threw away the parsimony. And then he took the Chintamani, Naam, Hare Krishna Mantra, he took it. So in this way, gradual upgradation of that fellow took place. But nowadays, what's happening, when you talk about Varnashrama, people want to be, you know, Brahmacharis or Grihasthas, and maybe they're following some of their norms within that order. But there is a large-scale destruction of faith in the sadhus. Why? Because Kali Yuga is the age where a lot of sadhus become uncultured and without character and without purity. So because some sadhus have become degraded, people suspect all sadhus now. Like you will find that either they are putting faith in dongi sadhus, bogus sadhus, and people are getting cheated, or people are having suspicion about real sadhus also. Like imagine you went to a dentist and the dentist broke your tooth. He is not a dentist, he is a quack. And then you think all dentists are like this only. You may be thinking, so I will not show my tooth to anybody. So people are losing faith in sadhu sangha. So many people think it is better for me to download something here and download something there and here on my own and find out the truth myself. I'll figure it out. So then people get nowhere in their life. There is no proper guidance that people are following in this age. So Varnashrama without sadhu sangha is like a body without soul, or like a car without driver. It looks very beautiful body with coat, suit, boot, tie, nicely kept in a coffin. Everybody is thinking, oh, that fellow is sleeping. But it's a dead fellow. Somebody, Varnashrama, oh, we have Garbhadan Sanskar, you know, we have this Sanskar, that Sanskar, you know, we are raising children, my child, children are telling shlokas. There are many, many things they may be happy about, but the goal is not clear, vague. Where are we going? What is the goal of life? What's the meaning of life? and they are not having any acharya to follow, then they get nowhere. And then the next thing is bhakti in ignorance, passion and goodness. Yeah, that also we discussed. Then the lower modes, that means even if one is doing bhakti, there are 81 types of bhakti that he has explained, Rupa Goswami has explained. So Shuddha Bhakti is actually beyond these three, beyond the ignorance, passion and goodness. Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Udahritam Ahetukya Vyabhita Yavakti Purushottame. He says, Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Udahritam, beyond the three gunas. So we want that Shuddha Bhakti, which is beyond the three gunas. And then we had given some practical tips for Grihasthas to be steady, where we told many principles on Sattva Guna. For example, a Grihastha should avoid association with non-devotees and keep Sangha only with devotees. Similarly, a Grihastha should not develop too much material attachments to accumulating material commodities, but accumulate wealth and facilities for keeping body and soul together, keep it minimal. And that kind of things. And also a Grihastha devotee should worship the deity form of the Lord to develop the bodily attachment to the deity. Develop attachment, bodily attachment, but which bodily attachment? Deity bodily attachment. To deity's body you develop attachment. Oh, I will dress this deity, I will bathe this deity, I will decorate this deity, I will put a festival for the deities. So that should be developed. And one should chant the holy name, fixed number of rounds promised to the guru. One should follow the regulative principles. One should study the scriptures by coming in groups of devotees. And they should give charity. And be sympathetic to the propagation of Krishna consciousness. So by doing all these things, they can easily come to Sattva Guna. And although they may be living in the society like anybody else, that is not an ordinary family, it's an ashrama, Grihastha ashrama. And then after that, what we came to, okay, this we completed. And then we entered into understanding the Varnashrama, how it develops gradually. It's called Bhakti Avas. It's not actually Bhakti. It is Bhakti Avas, it's a resemblance of Bhakti or semblance of Bhakti, which comes from the Varnashrama. Like here you see, when you follow the Varnashrama rules and regulations without knowledge of Vishnu, as I told you, as a tradition people follow. Even the business people know that we have to put up some festivals at home, call some saintly people, or visit the temple of the Lord, or offer some charity, little they follow like that. And secondly, people understand, karmis understand that unless you offer something to Lord, you cannot flourish in your life, material life. So to flourish in material life, they give some results to Lord. And then later on they become little more purified. Without desiring any personal gain, they want to render some service to Lord. And they do their business and everything and offer some fruits. And then they get full knowledge of the Lord by studying the books and literatures, by coming in contact with devotees. Then they get some knowledge about the Lord, but that knowledge is very theoretical knowledge. And then they come to the point where not only have they have the knowledge, they start doing some yoga, meditation, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, everything. Then they are attached to their own meditation, my sadhana room, my meditation, and they don't do active service. They have their own independently minded idea on how I want to attain the Lord. That is Ashtanga Yoga. And then they may be promoted to Bhakti Yoga. And this process takes many lifetimes. Therefore, Krishna says, Bahunam Janma Namante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Like that, they come gradually, they come after many lifetimes. So this is one route we can take. Now in ISKCON also some people are saying this route appears very reasonable route because, you know, I also have many things to achieve in my life, personal gains I want. I think Sakama Karma Mishra Bhakti suits me very well. Let us go abroad, make a lot of money, put up business and enjoy life. Along with that, side by side, we also follow the saintly people by doing a little bit of bhakti. Or some people say that I like to work hard for, you know, I like to do this work. But I will offer some of my fruits and profits for the Lord, for your Lord service. Or some people are jnani type fellows who read lots and lots of books, but they will not chant one round also. You tell them to enter some seva, they will not do. Simply bookworms. There are people like that. Then there are people who are not just bookworms, they will do 128 rounds chanting, 192 rounds chanting. Sir, who told you? My mind told me. There are people like that. They will have their own space for drinking water and eating special prasad and doing their own bhajan. Better they go to Vrindavan and make a kutir and live there. They ask if they are like Goswamis. In fact, Goswamis were not living like that. Goswamis are preaching. If you see Goswamis in Vrindavan, they built temples. They established deities. They wrote spiritual literature. And Sanatana Goswami used to move around village to village and preach. Haridas Thakur was standing 180 rounds, but he was a great preacher also. You see that. But I don't know whose mood they are following. They are following the mood of their own mind only. Because Haridas Thakur was a preacher, Goswami is a preacher, then whose mood are they following? They are following their own mind only. So, in this way, you find this path is a very long route, which some people in ISKCON are considering to take. So, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani book by Shivaram, his own Shivaram Swami Maharaj, very thoroughly explains this. And this path is, this slide also we discussed briefly. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Antanukti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Rati, Bhava, Prema. This is actually a straight one-stroke method where you take to the path of Bhakti Yoga as your life and soul. This is what Rupa Goswami has given in Nectar of Devotion. And Madhuri Kandamani elaborates this path very thoroughly. So this is Shuddha Bhakti path. And this is Varnashrama path. So today's part 2 is more about comparison between these two, which he explains in. So please read this question. One lifetime approach or gradual Varnashrama approach?
Devotees should not take up the activities of the semblance of devotion, thinking them easier than the picture of pure devotion. Than the practice of pure devotion.
Yeah. Just because the Varnashrama path appears to suit our impure mind, if you take that path in this day and age, there are problems. We will talk about it. Read further.
Neither should they think that Srila Prabhupada's one lifetime approach to pure devotion is too demanding, or that the gradual route through the semblance of devotion is more realistic. Why?
That we will see today. So here,
the hallmark. From this point?
Heading.
Srila Prabhupada did not advise us to practice the semblance of devotion.
Yeah, actually, if you say that we prefer semblance of devotion path, Varnashrama path, then the question is, did Prabhupada want us to follow? Actually, Prabhupada talks about Varnashrama, not for our regular devotees. You will see that Varnashrama, actually Prabhupada says, you should have form communities and everything. But you read, there is a vast literature of Prabhupada on Varnashrama. He clearly says we should go to the farm, grihastha should go to the farm, and brahmachari should live in city. Prabhupada clearly says that. Why? Because brahmachari should slog all their life, put sweat and toil morning to night in the cities, and preach and make devotees and send them to farm. Why grihastha should go to farm? Because their house will be very cheap there, the prasadam, accommodation, everything will be very easy to create there. And then Prabhupada says, sit and study Bhagavatam. That is Prabhupada's Varnashrama program. But there are many other things coming up in the name of Varnashrama nowadays, many other things. And Prabhupada said, for those people who are not connected to Krishna consciousness, in order to bring them into the fold of our ISKCON movement, then the Varnashrama type of facility should be created. Not that devotees demote themselves from the path of pure devotion service to the Varnashrama, considering it very comfortable. I remember in our voice centers, student centers, we used to send some special prasad for the first years. Mysore Pak, Badushe, Laddu, those kind of items. Now one boy wrote a mail to me asking, Radhesham Prabhu, whenever we see these prasadam items, we get saliva in our tongue. We feel like eating. But we are senior devotees. We only take prasad. But these items actually are made by some semi-devotees from outside. Some are chanting 4 rounds, 6 rounds, and then they only offer it and send it. And these are for new boys. So this is supposed to be sent for the new boys, but some of the boys, our senior boys who take it for the new boys, they eat it up on the way. themselves also. Some silently were eating and some were seeking permission. Good ones, isn't it? Similarly, Varnashrama is like that only. Huh? You know, when you see that there is a variety of things to be eaten, which is actually not pure standard of prasad. Just like, you know, when you eat the Rajabhog prasad offered to the deities of the Lord, Mahaprasad offered to the deities, is of a very high standard. And we may not be able to follow the same standard in the Govindas, because sometimes we have devotees cooking, sometimes we don't get devotees. We get, you know, somebody standing one round, two round, cooking also there. So there are different standards. In the same manner, you will find that when there is a relaxation, then the boys gradually lose their strength in devotional service and pull out of the center and stay out to have a more cool life. Therefore, he says here, the hallmark of Prabhupada's true followers is that the conviction that his approach, means Prabhupada's approach, to the path of perfection is the most painless and pragmatic path. Pragmatic means practical, yeah.
Srila Prabhupada did not advise us to practice the semblance of devotion.
I am not saying this. His Holiness Shivaram Swami is saying. Shivaram Swami is Prabhupada's disciple. In the last 40, 50 years, he is serving as a GBC also in ISKCON. So, he has written his book. I have taken as it is. Yeah.
To perfect that process requires a stable, global Varnashrama society that can ensure favorable conditions over many lifetimes. Such a Varnashrama system does not exist at present.
What is the meaning of a global Varnashrama society? You know, long before when the Vedic culture was there, the Vedic culture was supporting your religious practices. Like for example, in the Chanakya's times, when Chandragupta Maurya was there, it is called as the golden age of the Guptas. You know, if you are walking in the street, at every home you can hear the Vedic chant, sound vibration. You go to the temple, you will see Bharatanatyam, you will see Vedic dramas, and the Lord being gorgeously worshipped. And you find many, many people, in fact, so many men went to the Brahmachari path and Sannyas path, that number of women population increased more. And women did not have enough men to marry them. Then one man had to marry polygamy, many women. Prabhupada writes that. Because men thought that why to get entangled? We just take to the renounced order and then go back to Godhead. That was the age like that in Satya Yuga, it was like that. But those who took to Grihastha Ashram, they were very responsible. Can you imagine, one man, Prabhupada says, one man now in Kali Yuga cannot marry two women. Do you know why? Because if one man marries two women, he can't be equal to both. But in the Vedic times, one man could marry 10 women and treat all 10 women equally. Can you imagine? That means those men must have been like saintly people. Only they can take care of so many women, treating them equally. So, therefore, it was like that. It was a golden age before. But now there is no such global Varnashrama. Why? If you locally create in your own basti, outside you go, the society doesn't support. Grihasthas are sending the children to a school where the children are learning all nasty, dirty things. So, you will not be able to maintain the culture at home. Children hear dirty things in the school and come back. And that, so your school culture doesn't support your home Vedic environment. Like that he is telling. Yeah. And then, and also for example, Brahmacharya also. If somebody is keeping a Brahmacharya Vrata following, how much Brahmacharya struggle in a city environment, everybody knows. If you want to go through the Varnashrama path, Brahmacharya has learned the four Vedas, for example, Upanishad, Puranas, and gradually do the rituals of a Brahmacharya. Gurukula we keep. Even if you train children from small age Gurukula, if you bring them to city, they can get easily distracted. Because you will see the city has millions of distractions. Then what to do, what should Grihasthas and Brahmacharis do will be the question which will be answered soon. Yeah.
And even if ISKCON were able to establish a stable Varnashrama network through self-sufficient farm communities, that would not solve the problem for the majority of devotees who reside in cities.
So majority devotees who live in city, they are not ready to leave the city and go to the farm. Like you can see, there are farms which have sprung up already. And many of the farms are opening up for the devotees to come and live. But many city devotees say that we want to be in city and then weekend we want to come. For a couple of days, go to the farm with the family and friends and then just, you know, in a serenity of the nature, you know, just go and little bit caress the cows and hear one class and take prasad and chill out and then come back and they want to be in the city. So Monday to Friday, and you can ask whether all the congregation will be all over the world ready to wind up their luggage and go back, go to the farm, and will they be able to live there? Maybe that maturity may come over the years, but actually right now that is not the situation. Even if you make a Varnashrama ashrama, for example, you make a Gurukula and Varnashrama in one farm community, very few people are able to turn up for that. 99.9% population is in the city temples only. Yeah.
Result of devotional service continue from life to life. Then what is the harm in a multi-life approach to perfection?
Like that, some people may ask a question. Multi-life approach means gradual Varnashrama. Okay, Prabhu, I agree, it's difficult, but let's make a beginning slowly from, you know, karma, sakama, karma mishra bhakti. The next lifetime maybe nishkama, karma mishra bhakti. Then in subsequent lifetime, you know, nishkama, karma jnana mishra bhakti. Then after that, you know, nishkama, yoga and bhakti. Like that I may do. People may say that, yes. But what is the answer for that?
While it is true that Krishna guarantees that our advancement on the path of devotion is permanent, Bhagavad Gita 2.40, he makes no guarantee that conditions we will face in future lives will be stable.
That is the point. Although your bhakti, neha vikramana ashwasti, you know, pratyavayana vidite svalpam apyasi dharmasi trayate mahatubayat, and all that is said, whatever you do, that he guarantees. But he doesn't guarantee the setting of the society for you. Now you may tell Krishna that, you know, my Lord, if I do bhakti, that's permanent, you say, but then why don't you set up the society for me? No, Kali Yuga itself is very nicely, clearly given in the scriptures. You read the Lakshanas of Kali Yuga in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam. You'll see Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali. In Satya Yuga, there was no blemish. Dwapara, 25% was introduced. And in a Treta, and then Dwapara, 50%, like that it has been going. So Kali Yuga, more than 75-80% is degraded. And the good qualities are all reducing. Like if you read the Satya Yuga, they were Nirvairaha, Shantaha, Dharmishtaha, all that is said here. They were completely non-envious, they were fixed in the religious principles, and they are peaceful-minded and focused on spiritual life, like they are 100% people. Then after that you find they are, you know, Brahmavadinaha, they study the Vedic literature, some will apply, some will not. And you come to the Dwapara Yuga, they are called Jignyasabha, that's all. Jignyasabha means they are inquisitive, they will inquire and nod the head, but many may not follow. But then in Kali Yuga, no, Jignasa is also not there. Interest only is gone. So it's a very degraded society. So setting is not good. Go ahead.
If devotees consider the present environment troublesome to their spiritual life, then they should assume that the future will be even more troublesome. Kali Yuga is drifting into further degradation.
Yes. And till now, the 10,000 years of golden age is not over. Only 500 are over. In this situation, it is so bad. Another 9,500 years we have. After that, Kali Yuga is going to go very drastically, very deadly. And also, if devotees take to the Varnashrama type of approach, because of the material desires, then they may be transported to heaven. And in the heaven, they may live about 10,000 years. By the time they come back after that, that 10,000 years is over now. Then they will exactly land on earth after the golden age is over. And you can think about what will happen. Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada's approach echoes the will of the previous acharyas. He encourages everyone to make an intense effort to become perfect in Krishna consciousness within this lifetime.
Within this lifetime. Yeah.
His divine grace's followers, members of ISKCON, should honor his desire by making every effort to aim for spiritual perfection, leaving the results in his hands. Full confidence in Srila Prabhupada's guidance is a symptom of pure faith in him.
Srila Prabhupada emphasized this going back to Godhead in such a manner. Even little Saraswati would tell everybody, we should go back home, back to Godhead. In ISKCON, any small kid you ask, what is the goal of your life? He will say, to go back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada named the magazine as Back to Godhead, which he called as the backbone of ISKCON. So Prabhupada actually wanted all his followers to practice Krishna consciousness very sincerely and very seriously and prepare themselves to go back to Godhead. You know, when Jayananda Prabhu had left the body, devotees went and asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada varied Dhyananda go. So Prabhupada said, he might have gone to heaven, he said. And people asked, really Prabhupada? Jayanapu is such a serious devotee. He has such good qualities and everything. And then Prabhupada said, if Jayananda Prabhu practiced devotion service purely and beyond the material desires, then he would have gone back to Godhead, he said. And otherwise, Prabhupada said in ISKCON, there are good number of devotees who are maintaining their material desires and they are thinking it is all right to maintain. Then they are likely to land in heaven, even ISKCON devotees. Like Prabhupada said that. There are evidences for what I am saying. Letters can be shown. Yeah. Therefore, Prabhupada clearly wanted devotees to work on, you know, rising above material desires and practicing Shuddha Bhakti. Yeah.
Faith in Krishna's representative, Srila Prabhupada. Faith in Krishna's pure representatives is equally important and can be harvested from the study of faith in the Lord. Pure faith in Krishna is the firm conviction that following His orders will fulfill all one's needs and desires.
Shraddha shabde vishwasa kohe sudrida nishchay Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hai. He says, that means, you know, we should have firm faith that if I do Krishna bhakti, you know, all my needs like, you know, roti, kapda, makan, food, clothing, shelter, everything Krishna will arrange. I have nothing to fear. I remember recently in our youth program all over India, some 250 youth leaders came. So we had arranged four speakers to speak on social security. How to rise above insecurity and have social security. So when His Holiness Bhakti Vaishnava Ashray Maharaj was told to speak, so it touched our hearts when He spoke. He spoke from the heart. He said, what is the fear of security? Lord Krishna is there. We are chanting His holy names. And then He will arrange your prasadam. He will arrange your accommodation. And then you just preach His message. And this is social security. Hare Krishna. That's all He said. You know. Of course, there are other people who spoke many other aspects of security. But why I am telling you, this is precisely what we are talking here. That a devotee of the Lord should have firm faith in Krishna's plan for us. You do your endeavor a little bit. Prabhupada says, if you work 8-10 hours, whatever money comes, you keep the body and soul together and focus on Krishna. Your main focus is Krishna. And to take care of the body and soul, to keep it together, side by side, you make some earning. So that means Krishna is here and making your earning, body and soul together is coming in the side. But now people do mainly do what? They put their, you know, food, clothing, shelter, then status, then prestige, then fulfilling my this desire, that desire, all these things. And also Krishna consciousness. So Krishna comes from side or in the front. Just like Duryodhana, where did he sit when he went to meet Krishna? Head side. Side he sat. Whereas where did Arjuna sit? Right at the lotus feet of Krishna. So you want to put Krishna, you want to put yourself right in front of Krishna and make Krishna the goal of your life. And then side by side your needs will be fulfilled. So Prabhupada says in many lectures that our material needs will be will follow our spiritual life like a shadow. Like if you do spiritual life well, then you will see all your material demands will be whatever you need, Krishna will arrange it. It will go on. Some or other we have to complete our term in the material world. Some money you need, some house you need, some facility you need. But don't make the program for making this world your home. Let us make this world a wonderful place. You know, let us increase our comforts, luxuries, facilities, our name, fame, glory. Don't try to make this world your goal of life. World is not the goal. This world is not the goal. That world is the goal. Krishna is the goal. That's the point. So therefore, go ahead. Any other?
Any other degree of faith in Krishna, although it may be strong, is impure and cannot lead to perfection.
There are other faiths in Krishna. If I have trouble, I can go to Krishna, He will solve it. Mixed faith. If I want wealth, I can go to Balaji, He will bless me and my business will flourish. Those types of faith in God are all impure type of faith. They're all mixed devotion. Yeah.
And faith in Krishna's representative is inseparable from faith in Krishna, because the hearts of the Lord and His representatives are intimately linked.
Yeah. Like yesterday, one anonymous question came. One boy was telling that, Actually, you know, Prabhupada's lectures, I find Prabhupada repeating same things. I don't like so much. But I'm hearing other lectures. I said, very obvious, because you don't want to surrender. You don't want to apply Krishna consciousness. And when one man told Prabhupada on the face directly, Prabhupada, you know, why do you repeat in your purports again and again? Prabhupada said, even after I've repeated, you're not following. Prabhupada said, therefore I must repeat. First you follow what I'm saying, then I will tell you something new. Huh? Like that he said. So therefore, we have to have faith in Krishna's representative Prabhupada. And if we want to hear something very sweet, which is not Krishna conscious, which may be coming from devotees, then you are not for Krishna. You are simply wanting to enjoy your spiritual. You want to use Krishna for your enjoyment. Use and throw. Use Krishna and throw, that's all. You are using Krishna's use and throw mechanism. You are not interested in attaining Krishna's lotus feet and attain service.
Therefore, qualification for membership in ISKCON should be based on pure faith in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, which includes his approach to fulfilling Krishna's instructions and Lord Chaitanya's mission.
Why Maharaj is saying this? Because nowadays all over ISKCON, people are sitting in the Vyasa Pit and not repeating Srimad Bhagavatam. Some people have stopped giving classes sitting on Vyasa Pit. Why? They have understood that I have something else to speak. And I can't sit here and speak. So they are not sitting and speaking. That's the reason. Because if you sit here, you should repeat what Prabhupada says. He's an Acharya, founder Acharya. His books are our basis. If you are saying something else, you have no right to sit here. So therefore, our qualification of being ISKCON devotee, ISKCON follower means the pure faith in Prabhupada is necessary. Otherwise, we don't have to have be a part of ISKCON. You can be a part of PISKCON or MISKCON or KISKCON or something else. Why are you a part of ISKCON then? Then Prabhupada's Acharya, you have to follow his books.
Srila Prabhupada's pure follower thinks, if I practice Krishna consciousness as Srila Prabhupada taught it, whatever the apparent consequences, I shall achieve love for Krishna. Moreover, a pure devotee is convinced that there is no better way to serve Srila Prabhupada than to practically apply his teachings in everyday life.
Yeah. This is the faith of a follower of Prabhupada. If I practice Krishna consciousness as Prabhupada taught it, there may be problems, there may be challenges, my mind may create trouble, it may be a bit more challenging, but I will achieve love for Krishna. That faith is required. Devotee should be convinced. In the early days also, you know, when Prabhupada started ISKCON in 65 to 77, during his period, you know, devotees actually went out and slogged a lot doing Harinam Sankirtan, distributing books, you know, doing enormous services. Prabhupada had a sandwich program, morning and evening lectures, and daytime devotees would go 6 hours for Harinam. And Prabhupada never made any difference between brahmacharis and grihasthas. Prabhupada respected women devotees as much as he respected brahmacharis in temple. When some of the brahmacharis in one of the temples told that women should not be in the temple hall when we are chanting japa, Prabhupada told those brahmacharis, you go to forest, he said. You know, women, they are also devotees. Just like you want to be devotee, they are also devotees. Let them chant. So Prabhupada gave women also a lot of opportunity to render services. So when Prabhupada said, whichever jiva had spark of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada appreciated it. Whether it be Saraswati, little child, whether it was an old devotee, young devotee, man, woman, everybody. So in this way, Prabhupada wanted everybody to take to Krishna consciousness and are willing to pay the price and follow the process and follow the austerity of Krishna consciousness. Nowadays, people are afraid of divine austerities. Nowadays, many people want to take spiritual life like happy-go-lucky guys. They want the spiritual life to be very cool, which means they want to mostly do sense gratification and little spiritual life, which is actually called a mixed devotion.
Fourth, cleanse lust or awaken prema. This reawakening of love by reducing false ego,
by varnashrama approach, yeah.
By varnashrama, may resemble the process that takes place as devotees advance through the stages of the semblance of devotion. But there is a major difference. In the development of pure devotion, love is gradually awakened, whereas in the development of semblance of devotion, lust is gradually extinguished.
For example, when a varnashrama follower offers to Indra, Indraya swaha idam na mama, so the mamata is gradually removed in many, many lifetimes. And afterwards, when he is rendering service to God without any kama, then the ahanta is removed. Mamata is removed gradually, and then ahanta, I, is removed eventually. gradually understanding that Lord Vishnu, Krishna is supreme, that dawns after many lifetimes. But mostly the Varnashrama approach is cleansing process, cleansing the ahankar and mamakar is of more emphasis there, and not devotion to Supreme. Therefore, when you read Mahabharata also, you don't find so much glorification of Krishna there. It's mostly talking about, mundane qualities like charity of Karna and such kinds of things are emphasized. Therefore, people like Mahabharata, Ramayana more than Bhagavatam, because if you see Ramayana, people like very much because Ram and Sita, they behave like ideal human beings. People like it very much. Very good. I say on Achai. Very good. Very good. Everybody likes it. And Mahabharata, there is enough masala to enjoy. There is so much politics, so much this, so much that. Everything you enjoy without direct Krishna consciousness there. Therefore, when Vidura came out of the palace, when he met Maitreya, Maitreya in the beginning tells him, should I say about Mahabharata? He said, no, I saw Mahabharata with my eyes. You don't have to tell me anything. Kindly please tie that book and keep it aside. Now you tell me Bhagavatam, he says. Because I have come to purify my heart and go back to God. I am not interested in Mahabharata. I have practical experience in the court with Dhritarashtra and all those fellows, he said. So, therefore, you will see that that process is a very gradual process meant for cleansing the lust over a period of time. Whereas the Bhagavad Dharma is focused on awakening prema. Yeah.
In other words, when pure faith emerges, the emphasis changes from cleansing lust to developing attachment.
Yeah. So even a Varnashrama follower may also awaken pure faith. When, for example, he is cleansing over many, many lifetimes. Yadrachaya matkatado jata shraddhastu yappuman nanirvenno natisakto bhakti yogo se siddhidaha. Therefore, I read that verse. Say, somebody is a Varnashrama follower, a boy born in a Brahmana family. Say, Ajamila, for example. Ajamila is trying to follow the vidhi nisheda of the Vedic literature. But then he fell down to a prostitute because he didn't have that paramdrishtva, higher taste coming from pure devotion directly. Nor did he have a shelter of a Shuddha Bhakta shelter. So he was following vidhi nisheda of the Vedas. Nicely, he fell down. And then he got access to the message of Shuddha Bhakti spoken by? No, Vishnu Dutas. Vishnu Dutas spoke it. He heard it. At that time, he got the seed of devotion. Then he woke up. That means the pure faith emerged in the heart of Ajamila at that time. In the heart of boy Dasiputra, the pure faith emerged at the time when he heard the Bhaktivedanta speaking. Tatran vaham Krishna kata pragayatam is anugrahena shrinavan manohara tha shraddaya. With faith I heard. That time the faith in the seed of devotion he got, this boy. Rahuguna got the seed of devotion from Jadabharata. You will see that. You find this. Similarly, Chitraketu, when did he get the seed of faith? Not when Angiramuni came in the beginning, because his mind was elsewhere. But when Angiramuni brought Narada, and Narada brought the life of the child back, and when the child got up and the child spoke, and then he developed great affection and faith in Narada and Angiramuni. And Narada gave him Diksha. That is the time his faith in Lord Sankarshan got awakened. Similarly, but at that time he was a Vedic follower, but a slow follower. Who? Chitraketu. Similarly, Prachina Parishad was also a very dull and slow follower for a long period of time. He had even sent his sons for tapasya. He didn't go himself in old age. Yeah? But then Narada came and very strongly preached to him. And then the pure faith emerged in his heart. Prachina Parishad. So much so that he retired even before the Prachetas came back. He told ministers, till then you take care of the kingdom, my boys will come back, I am going ahead, he went. Because when pure faith emerges, like putting on all the lights in a dark room, when the lights are on, there is no more darkness, no more ignorance. Then a person thinks, what am I doing? Sun is rising, sun is setting, life is running out, and I have not yet become Krishna conscious. Let me immediately take to Krishna consciousness, like that one feels when the pure faith emerges. Yeah. Go ahead.
Prior to pure faith, goodness and knowledge may destroy the sense of I-ness and my-ness, but they are unable to avoid even a hint of love for Krishna. Only the practice of pure devotional service under the guidance of great devotees can gradually awaken prema.
Yeah, that means the Varnashrama is for cleansing lust and pure devotional service path is for awakening prema.
Fifth, materialistic devotion versus pure devotion. Materialistic devotees often liken their semblance of devotion to the service of pure devotees. I am also serving Krishna, they say, but appearances are deceiving. Although the false possessiveness and false identity of both classes of devotees may be diminishing, the mixed devotee cannot lay claim to the wealth of blossoming love possessed by the pure devotee.
That's the point, he says, makes a difference. Although the ahankara and mamata may be reducing, because he is also indirectly engaged in Krishna service. See, there is a direct Krishna service and there is indirect Krishna service. For example, direct service is like Navavidha Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archana Mandanam, Dasam Sakyam, Atmani Vedanam. That is direct service. And serving under a Vaishnava Guru who is ordering you to serve Krishna by Sri Vigrahara, Dhananitya, Nana, Shungara, Tanmandira, Marjanado, that's one way. Another, and Pancharatri Vidhi. Then the Bhagavat Vidhi is, you know, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, like Mahaprabhu would go to the Tota Gopinath temple, where he would sit with all other Vaishnavas also, and then Gadadhar Pandit would recite Bhagavatam every day. He would hear. So this Bhagavat Vidhi. So to hear that. And then Mahaprabhu would then do the Sankirtan with all the devotees in the afternoon time, evening time. They would do Sankirtan. Morning they would go for darshan of the deities. So what do you think Mahaprabhu did 18 years living in Jagannath Puri? Simply take darshan of the deities, simply recite Srimad Bhagavatam, and then put up Sankirtan and take prasad, and then reach out to the conditioned souls like he went to South India for preaching. Who are now not yet introduced to Krishna consciousness. Introduce them to Krishna consciousness. This is what we call as the path of pure devotional service. That means Krishna, Krishna everywhere. You begin your day with Krishna, Krishna. End your day with Krishna, Krishna. Eat prasadam with Krishna, Krishna. Do your all your activities in the direct relation to Krishna. And what is the indirect path? The indirect path is the Varnashrama path, he says. They may be serving Krishna, but indirectly. For example, the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they have their prescribed duties. Like somebody may be a Purohit, conducting, going home to home and doing some puja part and everything. And he may also offer a part of his fruits to Krishna. Similarly, Kshatriya offering protection, he is offering. That's indirect path. So, Varnashrama Krishna says, Sve Sve Karmani Abhirataha Sam Siddhim Labhate Naraha Sva Karma Nirataha Siddhim Yatha Vindati Tatshuno. Yadaha pravritir bhutanam yena sarvamidam tatam swakarmanatam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. These two shlokas clearly say that, see, now you all may have one question. If everybody takes to the path of direct devotional service to Krishna, then how will the world run? Mangalayacha lokanam kshemayacha bhavayacha, it is said. Bhavaya means material welfare of the world. And kshemaya means liberation from miseries. Mangalaya means Krishna prema attainment. If you are emphasizing so much on Krishna prema attainment alone, then bhavayacha, how will the material welfare be taken? So you will see that those people who received a direct seed from a pure devotee, they will have a very strong leaning for doing direct devotional service. Like you see Ramananda Rai, for example, he was observed to be having that intense attraction by our Sarum Bhattacharya even before. And therefore, Bhattacharya told, you are going to South India, please go to the bank of Godavari and you will find this fellow. And he always would talk about Krishna. He would delight in Krishna prema, always. And you will find him very interesting because your consciousness and you will be a sajatiya, both of you with him. Like that he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You will see that. So, therefore, if we are receiving the seed of Shuddha Bhakti and one is developing Shraddha for that, then one should go in that direction of doing more and more direct devotional service. Now there are others who are not fortunate to get that Shuddha Bhakti seed in this life, and they will make sure the world is taken care, the world is running, and they will run the world. We don't have to run the world. Devotees have to just chant, dance and spread the Bhagavatam. And the other people who are not as fortunate as us to receive the direct seed of Krishna consciousness, then they can actually do the Varnashrama. Secondary. Therefore, he is saying that when the mixed devotee cannot lay claim to the wealth of blossoming love. For example, the mixed devotee will appear to be externally devotee. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das, because your father and, you know, your father and grandfather are related to my maternal uncle, Nilambara Chakravarti. They had connection. So I can joke about your father and uncle, he said. And you know what joke Mahaprabhu said? Little dangerous joke. What joke he told? He said, although they also may wear tilak and they may wear a, you know, kurta with a golden button and everything, they may be like Vaishnavas, but they are only Vaishnava Praya, he said. They are materialistic Vaishnavas. And then he said, they are like, you know, they have metal attachment like the place where the worm goes to a pit where people go to pass stool, like that he said. So he compared that worm's attachment to stool as a metal attachment of his father and uncle. And he called it as a joke. He was joking, Mahaprabhu. That means, you know, Mahaprabhu did not appreciate metal attachment in devotees. You can see Mahaprabhu told even Sanatana Goswami, as soon as he saw a costly blanket given by Srikanta, his brother-in-law, Mahaprabhu was again and again staring at it. So Sanatana went and gave it away to one beggar and took a torn quilt and came. Then Mahaprabhu not only smiled, he said, Sanatana, your last shred of metal attachment is finished, he said. So in this way, a mixed devotee like our father of Raghunath Das and uncle of Raghunath Das, they may also claim that, you know, they may also say that we are also serving Krishna. But they don't have the wealth of blossoming love like what Raghunath Das got. How Raghunath Das got it and why the parents didn't get it? Raghunath Das's attraction was when Balramacharya, Yadunandana Acharya, Balramacharya were both taking care of the deities. So Balramacharya would take the small baby of Raghunath Das and go to the caves where Haridas Thakur would be chanting the holy name. And there, when this small boy saw the wealth of Krishna Prema in the heart of Haridas Thakur, he got the seed. That is the time he got the seed. Therefore, his father told, this fellow has developed attachment to the madman Lord Chaitanya. So even though he has a beautiful wife like an Apsara, and even though his wealth is like Indra, you know, how can you tie him up with ordinary ropes? Because his mad attachment to Lord Chaitanya is making him run to the feet of Lord Chaitanya, he said. And that mad attachment originated from the seed he received from Haridas Thakur in the cave. So he was very attracted, yeah.
Pure devotional service gradually weakens the influence of the modes, proportionately dissipates the false ego and awakens the soul to its original state as a loving servant of Krishna. Again, it is a decrease in either the consciousness of I-ness, ahanta, or my-ness, mamata, or both. That indicates dissolution of the false ego and the uncovering of love.
Yeah. See, for you, when you are practicing Shuddha Bhakti, also these things happen. You will say ahankar goes gradually, mamakar goes away, false ego is destroyed gradually. But these things happen even without you are making a conscious effort to do them. Your focus is on Krishna. Like my spiritual master was once asked by some very big man who came to Chopari temple. He saw Gaurang Prabhu, myself and all, we were doing some service in the temple. So that man came to know that we are from IIT Bombay. So when that man came to me, he was shocked. Swamiji, what is this? These IITians are sitting here doing some wearing dhoti kurta and shaving the head and doing these activities. And you know how Maharaj answered it very smartly. He smiled and said, actually, they used to come to temple to take part in the programs and they took up some service. Now they got so much service that they remained here only. They never went back. Like that he told and he smiled. But why I told you, when we came to Krishna consciousness, we never thought about we have to give up the home, we have to give up the job, you know, we are giving up this, giving up that. Hardly the thought passed in our mind. There was only one thought, oh, I want to serve Prabhupada. I want to serve Krishna. I want to go back to Godhead. And this is the path. This is real life. So you will, when you focus on this, what other things have to happen will automatically happen. Like one fellow was saying, Prabhu, now I am turning 60 next year. So how do I start the Vanaprastha? I said, you don't have to start Vanaprastha. You just come to temple regularly first. You know, you render some service. So as soon as he became 60, he came to temple. And he said, Prabhu, now I have told all my friends and colleagues by phone, by WhatsApp message that now on this date I am joining Vanaprastha now fully. I said, And then I told him, okay, Prabhu, you show that you are a vanaprastha for 6 months in the temple, and then we will talk more. And after 4 days, he was missing. And he was missing for practically 3 weeks. Then he came back, and 2-3 days he was there again, missing for 2 weeks. I asked, what happened? Prabhu, the social obligations are pulling me. You know, my son's son, you know, daughter's daughter, you know, my uncle's son, aunts, and this and that. He was moving, going and round. The jiva is called sarvaga. He keeps moving from place to place. Gamayati, keeps moving. So I told him, Prabhuji, when he came back, once I met him after 1 year. Prabhuji, in this 1 year, you tell me how many months you stayed here. Then his hand was hanging low, his head was hanging low. Sorry, Prabhuji, I just calculated, I stayed only 12 days in the temple in this 1 year, he said. Then he said, what kind of vanaprastha are you? Huh? You know, vanaprastha life is actually not for socializing. Socializing, you have already done a lot. Huh? Maybe if it is a very important thing, son's marriage, daughter's marriage is all right. But otherwise, you have, to, you know, 200 relatives and you move here and there, you won't be able to do vanaprastha. Vanaprastha means you should completely withdraw yourself from all these social interactions and then focus on study of the Shastra, rendering service to the deity, rendering, you know, husband, wife should completely focus on Krishna conscious service. And you don't have to come to temple and join full time. You live at home near the temple. Come and spend time in the temple. Huh? Attend the whole morning program, hear the classes and do services. That is vanaprastha, Prabhupada said. Prabhupada has made it very simple for us, still people don't want to do. Huh? Yeah. Therefore, pure devotion service will weaken the influence of the mood and other things. You don't have to worry about it. You don't worry about a rajoguna, tamoguna. No, don't talk about it. Just talk about Shuddha Bhakti, how to advance in my loving devotion to Krishna, how to serve Prabhupada more. Other unwanted things will be washed away.
6. From perverted I and mind to real. The living entities experience two extreme poles of identity.
This we will not read because we have already heard it in that lecture purport, in the shloka purport, that na nirvindo na atisakto. Yeah. So these things will, the two, okay, this is talking about what? There is a true aham mama, there is a false aham mama. In the material world, what do we have? False aham mama. Like, you know, I am a male, I am a female, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, you know, I am Indian, I am American. That is false aham. And mama means my wife, my husband, my children, my father, my mother. That's false mama. And the real aham mama is explained in the last line. Read the last para.
In perfection, however, the living entity's real identity manifests itself. And the perverted sense of I and mine are corrected to reveal the real sense of I, real sense of I am Krishna's servant, Ahanta, and Krishna is mine, Mamata.
So it will, this is a thing we have to advance to this level, yeah. So real love is fully awakened and directed only towards Krishna. Such love is praised as prema. Yeah.
7. Bhakti of a mixed devotee and pure devotees. The following study correlates the awakening of love to the spiritualizing of the senses of I-ness and minus. It reveals to mixed devotees how their bhakti differs from that of pure devotees.
Yeah. See, for example, you will see that many Prabhupada disciples identify strongly with Prabhupada. How many of you observed it? Correct, no? And they strongly identify with ISKCON. Huh? They strongly identify with Krishna and spiritual world. You know, I belong to ISKCON and my body, mind, words are meant for Prabhupada's service. And they're very innocent and very, very pure at heart. Huh? And their false identity of being an American or a European and all has vanished completely. And they are ready to wear dhoti kurta, matas are ready to wear sari, they wear tilak. We all will find many Prabhupada disciples, they have lost the material identity. We can see with our eyes. Whereas we people, although we are externally saying, I am ISKCON follower, we have our tilak and kantimala, everything. We still are attached to my surname in the family and our caste and our material achievements and all these things. Still their identification is not dissolved. Read the second paragraph. Because pure devotees take up devotional service in order to attain love for Krishna, the study of the way love manifests itself at different stages is also of great value to them. It provides them an authorized way. Like for example, Shraddha, Asal, Sangha, Bhajan, Kriya, Madhuri Kadambini says, correct, no? You know, 1 to 9 stages. So they can watch themselves going through those stages. Last para, yeah?
The process begins with the acquisition of the rare treasure of pure faith. Sometimes faith appears to manifest itself spontaneously, swabhaviki, meaning that it appears when past agyata sukriti matures, even before coming in contact with devotees in this life.
Yeah, for example, Chintamani, you know, when she chastised Billomangal, at that time Billomangal's past sukriti matured. So immediately he got awakened, like that. Similarly, our Yamunacharya, you know, when Ram Mishra came and took him, on the way he was hearing the Bhagavad Gita, at that time his Ajna Sukriti matured. Then he awakened, and then Yamunacharya became a great Acharya after that. So once when maturity, once Ajna Sukriti may mature up. Another method is Balodpadita, like what our Vidura preached very strongly. So sometimes we fear to hear strong lectures of Prabhupada, but Prabhupada lectures can be Balodpadita. Prabhupada says, you may be an atheist, you may not have faith in God, but God will come as death in your life and He will remove you from the scene. Prabhupada speaks like that very strongly. So therefore, sometimes even devotees fear to hear Prabhupada's lecture. They say, why? Because actually that Balodpadita is required for lazy people like us in this Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the age of lethargy. So therefore, it is good for us to hear, and Acharya speaking is non-different from Krishna speaking. It's like Krishna calling us back to Godhead. So we should not fear that we will be purified. It's like doctor is calling you to show the hand for injection. We should not fear, because taking injection will remove our disease.
Yeah. 8. How to recognize appearance of pure faith? Pure faith may also arise by an impartial study of scripture, by careful following of Varnashram Dharma, or by the prolonged study of speculative knowledge, or it may spring up all of a sudden. Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Chapter 6. However pure faith awakens, it makes a person eligible for pure devotional service and its perfection.
Yeah, but following Varnashrama may awaken pure faith in many lifetimes, millions of lifetimes in my talk. Also prolonged study of speculative knowledge, also Krishna says, Bahu naam janma naamante jnanavan maam prapadyate, he says that. Yeah. And then last you read, appearance of
the appearance of pure faith is first noticeable when persons develop trust in the import of scriptures and a desire to practice the devotion they describe.
When you see that a person develops a firm faith in the import of the scriptures, and he also wants to practice what scriptures say very seriously, that means a pure faith has awakened in him.
9. Attitude of a neophyte devotee. Despite this faith, however, beginners have little or no understanding of what the scriptures truly mean. Neither do they know what the process of sadhana bhakti entails. But they do understand that devotional service means to chant Hare Krishna. Their faith in the holy name becomes their saving grace. Beginners in Krishna consciousness are also called materialistic devotees, prakrata bhaktas, because they identify completely with their body and the world around them. For them, devotional service is not yet a way of life, but a religion. Such devotees
think... You understand the difference? It's not a way of life, but religion. I will explain this, what it is. For example, religion means, oh, I'm supposed to chant, you know, 4 rounds or 8 rounds or 16 rounds. I've chanted, keep the bead bag aside. And then I have my day, I have my WhatsApp messages, I have my calls, I have to meet my friends, I have to socialize, celebrate birthday, go here, go there. And that is their life. That is their main life. And then religion is separate, like oil and water. They don't mix together. But when Krishna consciousness becomes a way of life, every moment you are Krishna conscious. You don't spend a moment without connecting it to Krishna. You are always in Krishna consciousness. That is a way of life. Yeah. Like you eat only prasadam cooked by devotees. You know, you do only Krishna conscious activities. You avoid all other things. Yeah, yes.
Such devotees think, I will continue with my worldly duties and chant Hare Krishna. The attitudes of neophytes towards spiritual life are like those of a separatist, in the sense that they cannot see things in connection with the Lord. They see Krishna only in the deity, and they see only the spiritual masters as Vaishnavas.
You will see this tendency in devotees. You know, they think Lord Krishna is standing here in the temple, and they can't see Krishna manifesting in various ways. For example, you know, like when I'm eating prasad, oh, this is also Krishna appearing as prasadam. Yeah. And when you're going on Harinam Sankirtan street, oh, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are guiding us in this Harinam, and they are distributing the holy name. So they can't see the Lord manifesting in the street, manifesting in prasad, manifesting in the japa which I am chanting, are manifesting even in the lives of neophyte new people. So they are not unable to see Krishna permeating the whole creation. They will only see Krishna is here. Similarly, you will find when a man comes to temple, he takes out his purse and puts a coin in the hundi. He thinks that money is for Krishna and this purse is for me. So he sees difference between my thing and Krishna's thing. But when you become a very seriously practicing pure devotional service devotee, for you, whether you are a grihastha, brahmachari, man, woman, you belong to Krishna and everything you possess also belongs to Krishna. You see like that.
Bhakti Vinod Thakur says that because neophytes possess weak faith, the smallest currency with which to purchase the Mahamantra, they do not have the firm will to chant attentively. Therefore, the nature of their chanting is the lowest of the three stages, offensive, namaprad. Similarly, their ability to hear the teachings of bhakti is selective and restricted.
For example, when they are chanting, their mind is elsewhere. I have to do this, I have to do that. If you are a passionate person, is in the passion mode, then a person thinks about doing different things. If he is a tamoguna person, he is lamenting, depressed, worried, insecure and all that. In this way. So therefore, their heart is not in the chanting, he says, the neophyte devotee. And also, the teachings of bhakti means, when my guru gives lecture, I will attend. If somebody else gives, it's useless for me. It's very selective and restricted. But His Holiness Niranjan Swami says in the book, Caring for Krishna's Devotees, that just like you see the Kanchenjunga, a big Mount Everest, next to that you see other mountains also. So in the same manner, advanced Antarmukha Bhakta, one who is a advanced devotee, he should be able to see many, many Vaishnavas as great souls. That means Krishna can manifest through not only the spiritual masters, he can also manifest through many senior devotees. He can manifest through our equal devotees. Krishna can manifest even from a junior devotee who can actually inspire me. And he can manifest through many Vaishnavas. So that kind of very broad vision only develops for an advanced devotee. If one is not advanced, a neophyte has very restricted, selective, restricted thing only he is able to hear. Similarly, he only, like for example, now you have to take darshan only in part of the day. Some people are very frustrated, some of the brahmacharis. They are not allowed to come and take darshan. And sometimes they hang around for a long time and the managers come and say, Prabhu, you have to go now, others have to come or whatever. Because they see the Lord only in the deity form. But if you are sitting in the room, Lord is there with you also there. You open the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Lord is there. You read and then you contemplate on the message Krishna is speaking to us. So if you are convinced, then you don't care whether you are in train. Like one devotee is telling me, Prabhuji, 36 hours instead of traveling, I will arrange a flight ticket for you, Prabhuji, he said. I said, you don't understand, Prabhu, this 36 hours I need to sit with Krishna in the form of scripture. You know, read. And then I want some solitude with the Lord also. You know, to meditate on what Krishna is saying in the scripture. Otherwise, you take a flight and go all the time talking, meeting people, socializing. We need some time. Therefore, we should be able to see Krishna manifesting in various ways, not only in the deity form. Yeah.
Yeah. 10. What saves the neophyte devotee from falling back to gross materialism? So devotees who have recently crossed the threshold of faith have only begun to uncover their spiritual identity as Krishna's servant. Jivera Swarup Hoye Krishnera Nitya Das. They still have a strong sense of I and mine in relation to matter. Consequently, their love for Krishna is
weak. I and mine is not a problem if it is in relation to Krishna. Like Prabhupada strongly identified with his guru Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He strongly felt he belongs to Gaudiya, Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya. And he had a strong sense of, you know, belonging to the Vaishnava Sampradaya. When he saw Mayavad, he very strongly condemned it that these people are spoiling the world. So he had a strong sense of I and mine, but on a spiritual plane. But what he is talking here is, we still have a strong sense of I and mine in relation to matter. We identify with my family, my job, my earning, my bank balance, my role in the outside world, in relation to the material world. So that kind of identification of I and mine is actually pinning us down on the material platform. It doesn't allow us to elevate. Yeah.
Consequently, their love for Krishna is weak. Such devotees are only slightly eligible, Kanishta Adhikar, to practice devotional service. The only thing that saves them from sliding back into gross materialism is the mercy and company of advanced devotees. Srila Prabhupada writes, without the association of devotees, one cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 12th Chapter, 37th Purport. Beginners who stay in the company of real Vaishnavas have a bright future, for they are on the path of perfection. But such a future, however bright, is still full of challenges, because it includes the unpleasant task of facing unwanted habits.
Yeah, because even if you stay with advanced devotees and practice, you have to cross through the stage of anartha nivritti. One has to be patient, because when you are doing bhajana kriya, then anarthas will come out. One has to be very patient, and sometimes offenses and sins, these are the two big problems in the path of spiritual life. Once we clear these two, then we come to nishtha stage, steady. So this topic is from going from shaky to steady spiritual life. So what is the connection of all these things I am speaking? In the last class, I spoke about gradual development of varnashrama. And in this class, I told you about that method is not applicable in this age. And Srila Prabhupada himself emphasized on one-stroke approach or pure devotional service approach. And in pure devotional service approach, you get pure love for Krishna awakened. Whereas in the varnashrama type of approach, the gradual nullification of the anarthas, like that. So therefore, we want to awaken pure love, because those who come as mixed devotees, like somebody got connected through interest for yoga, yoga asanas, or somebody got connected through food distribution program they saw and they were attracted to ISKCON. Even after spending many years, the old vasanas don't go. There is one very big donor, I don't want to mention the name. You know, he originally had the script of social service. And then he might have come in touch with ISKCON, Prabhupada and all these things. But then now 30, 40 years have passed. Although he is some kind of devotee chanting Krishna's bhajans and songs and everything. But now the old script of social service seed has not yet gone. It is very deep rooted, that bija. He got that bija from somebody. It is not going away so easily. So therefore we want that particular seed of pure devotion, either by Balotpadita is also no problem. Either by Svabhaviki or Balotpadita, we want that pure devotional seed so that we can awaken pure love for Krishna. And this is the last slide for this. Yeah.
11. When does a neophyte devotee worship Krishna, giving up all other activities? The devotee should have faith in Krishna's words.
Ye agya bale bhakter shraddha yadi haya sarva karma tyaga kari se Krishna bhajaya.
If the devotee has faith in the strength of his order, of this order, because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. He worships Lord Krishna and gives up all other activities.
Actually, sarva dharma paritya means one should not be fascinated by desh dharma, samaj dharma, social activities, altruistic activities, you know, philanthropic activities. And in family also, if you want to connect with all relatives, there are so many relatives you can connect with. Socializing, going for this birthday, this marriage, that marriage. You can become a social person like that. Or you may be having caste dharma also. You be a part of Brahmana Sangha and try to do something for all the Brahmanas. If you get into our Hindutva, Hindu dharma, you get into that, it's all endless dharmas. So one should abandon all this. And one should not see any difference, Hindu, Muslim, Christian. You should give Krishna to everybody. Ultimately, the jiva is not a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or Sikh or Parsi or anything. So we should go beyond all these lower dharmas. And the Bhagavata dharma transcends all this. So Krishna says, Sarvadhanam Paritaja, and from that he began Bhagavatam. So therefore, when a neophyte devotee gets this pure devotee seed from a pure devotee of a pure faith, that if I surrender to Krishna, everything will be taken care of. And Mrigari got that seed from Narada. Narada told him, break the bow, he told him. And what did Mrigari do? Initially he hesitated. He asked, but what will happen to my maintenance? He said, don't worry, you break the bow, I will send you every day. Immediately he broke the bow. And that breaking the bow represents surrender as well as breaking the sinful life to pieces. So a devotee gives up the sinful life of maintaining any sinful activities and also surrendering to Guru. So in this whole second heading, Abhishekhi to study spiritual life. This is the main point, that if you develop faith in this process of pure devotional service, as Rupa Goswami has defined, Anyabhilasha Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavrata Anukulyena Krishnashilana Bhakti Uttama, and you follow this path and not take the other slow path or a gradual path which extends through many lifetimes. If you are able to move from there to this, then one of the simplest things I'll tell you, if you want to increase your faith in this path, you should hear everyday Prabhupada lectures. Minimum 1 hour, half an hour to 1 hour we should hear. And faith in this path will increase for us. And you'll be shocked to know that, oh, this is what Prabhupada says. I never knew this. Because many guys are talking so many things nowadays. They are actually misleading us. They're misguiding us away from Prabhupada. Even though there may be many people in the garb of ISKCON devotees also, they are teaching many, many things. Nowadays, the diverted things have come. The world is going in a very deadly direction. And even in a spiritual moment like ours, there are so many subjects being discussed and we may get deviated. If you want to hold on to Krishna's lotus feet very firmly, we have to get our devotional scripts from Prabhupada's books. That should be the basis. And this itself will make our spiritual life steady. From a shaky spiritual life, I can come to steady spiritual life. Any boy is telling me, I have this problem, that problem. First thing I ask, how long are you hearing Prabhupada's lectures every day? No problem, I'm not hearing. That's the problem. Hear half an hour to 1 hour Prabhupada's lectures and read 1 or 2 hours Prabhupada's books every day. And as Prabhupada said, keep away from the temptations of Maya and strictly adhere to Prabhupada's programs. And anybody is doing this, Prabhupada will not allow you to go in the wrong path. You will see that. Now he has created us a big home, big ISKCON society, has left behind so many disciples to guide us. We have such a big support. With all the support, if we cannot go back to Godhead in this very life, it's a big loss. Therefore, one should make it one's shapat that in this very life, I will go back home, back to Godhead. Shri Prabhupada ki, Bhakta Vrinda ki, Granth Rashi Mad Bhagavatam ki.